There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, and a lot to talk about on today's show. But I want to start off this way with a big one, and if you look at AL.com, this is one of the stories probably getting a lot of the clicks out there. I'll pull out a paragraph here. When Lawrence Specker from AL.com writes, Saturday, March 16th marked 20 years to the day the Beau Rivage set a new benchmark for what a Gulf Coast casino resort could be. In Biloxi, that was grounds for an eruption of fanfare. In Mobile, it was just an occasion for some thoughts of what might have been. And one of those things that might have been apparently was a Beau Rivage standing proudly on Mobile's skyline. Picture that. Let's talk more about it with Lawrence Specker from AL.com. His story waiting for you right now at the top of my stack on the Twitter feed, or if you check it out directly through AL.com, just look for When Mobile Caught Casino Fever and a Kiss from Trump. Hey, Lawrence.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's good, and what a fascinating read. You're bringing a story, you know, as they're talking about lotto in the legislature today, you're talking about casinos back in the 1990s.
I would like to say I had planned that, but that's just a happy coincidence.
Well, it does dovetail nicely, and you start off by saying, remember the time when casino magnates were optioning property in Mobile? And one of them, a celebrity named Donald Trump, came to town and kissed the city seal. So there's the picture of then businessman, now president of the United States, kissing the seal of Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, it's amazing. How did we forget this happened?
It's a shame. You know, shame on me because I had forgotten this. But you started off. You said you and I were talking during the news break. You said you were looking into the 20th anniversary of the Beau Rivage and gambling along the Mississippi Gulf Coast when it opened up this this chest of you know, time capsule from back in 1993.
Yeah, I became aware last week, just more or less by accident, that Beau Rivage was celebrating its 20th anniversary, which was this past Saturday. And the Sun Herald had a very nice in-depth article on what that meant from the Mississippi perspective. And I thought, I should do something on this, but I should do it from the Alabama perspective. And started digging through our archives and really just fell down a rabbit hole. I came to Mobile personally in 94 when this was well-developed. And it was kind of coming to a head. But it took me back to the days when this was just day after day after day was front page news, the struggle over whether Alabama was going to follow Mississippi and approve some form of casino gambling.
And it ended up that, you know, there were people looking all over because this was, you know, going to be the boom town, no pun intended, in our area for casinos along the northern Gulf Coast. But then the road diverged. Mississippi went one way and Alabama went another.
Basically, yeah. Mississippi legalized dockside gambling. Well, they made it possible in 1990. I think one county approved it in 90, one approved it in 91, and so the first dockside casino opened there in 92, and there were more than a dozen planned. It was coming in a big way. And so over in Mobile, there was a lot of fear that if we don't do this too, we're going to get left out. We're just going to sit here and watch the dollars flow into Biloxi and Mississippi.
And to some degree, I mean, I don't know that, like many had worried, Mobile would wither on the vine, like you said in your story. I don't think that happened, but money has flowed from southwest Alabama to the southeast Mississippi.
Well, there's no doubt it's not that uncommon for people to drive over to visit the boats, as we say. They're not boats anymore for the most part, but I guess people still say it, you know, and it's an easy trip.
You know, part of your story, you in the time machine, you go back and you're looking at 1993 and talking to then mayor of the city of Mobile, Mike Dow. What were his perceptions on this? What was the recall?
His perception was interesting because he sort of said basically he was new to the job and this huge, messy, hot issue just fell into his lap, and he really wasn't crazy about that being handed to him, but he kind of figured, well, he had to sort of shepherd the city through this as it went through the decision-making process. And I think back in the day he was in favor of a referendum, but he's sort of taken a more philosophical view over the years. It was a decision the city had to make, and ultimately the city, or at least the state, made it.
Okay. That is part of what, you know, goes into understanding it today when people say, well, we ought to just do this and we ought to just have gambling. This is something that you don't decide at a municipal or county level. This is something that has to go through Montgomery, correct?
Right. Well, you know, everything in Alabama does. So,
that's right.
What it started off with the question of, would the Mobile City Council sort of express support for the referendum, and would the local delegation sponsor a bill? And there was this really kind of funny point in the process where Ann Bedsole, who was a state senator, had a bill drafted because she knew it was going to be an issue, but she didn't want to sponsor it, and nobody else wanted to sponsor it, so the bill just sort of like sat there without going anywhere for a while.
I mean, you're pointing out this is Rep. Bedsole, Ann Bedsole, she drafted the bill, but then wasn't going to carry the bill because your quote there was political suicide.
I mean, nobody wanted to be the point guy and carry the bill because they figured the next election cycle they'd get hammered mostly by the conservative religious interests. And eventually, J.E. Turner did sponsor a bill.
Now, we're you know, people are getting the Mobile City Council now getting protest about removal of trees. But back then, you said, yeah, groups had and number had showed up to protest the idea, or I guess give a warning to the city council for backing something like this.
Yeah, exactly. There was a specific council meeting where the council had been considering a statement of approval for a referendum, not saying there should be casinos, just saying, hey, the people should get a chance to vote on this. And they had a huge outcry. A lot of people showed up to speak against it, and that was mostly church-based, and they put that on hold for a while. They did ultimately pass a resolution like that on a split vote, but it did set them on their heels for a while.
Okay, so at this point, back in 1993, you're at first, I guess, need some kind of approval from local folks here that they would be open to gaming before carrying a bill to Montgomery to ask. I mean, was that the bill, the Turner bill back then? Would it have just been specific to our area, or was it going to be casino gambling throughout Alabama?
So there were a couple of different proposals that were out there, and the ones that were out there evolved over time. But the gist of it was the bill that made it the farthest would have allowed two casino licenses in Mobile. It would have allowed one casino license in Pritchard, and then there were four more scattered around the state in places, I think, where there were already dog tracks.
Okay, would this have this would have come in kind of under, I mean, we're just still talking about the legacy of Milton McGregor and those dog track facilities. This would have been in a kind of a similar move?
I think so, and there would have been, like I say, there were a lot of different proposals at a lot of different times, but I think there would have been, under some, there would have been a statewide referendum, and under others, there might have also been additional local referendums. So there would have been some steps before the way would have been open.
All right, coming right back, more with Lauren Specker from AL.com. Read through the story. What a time, you know, we've opened up the time machine. We've opened up the past. Wait till you see the picture here with the now President of the United States kissing the seal of Mobile. When Mobile caught casino fever and a kiss from Trump, we return next right here on Midday Mobile. Stay close.
Information update brought to you by Cart Doctor's Street Legal Cart Sale. With an overflowing inventory and the best prices of the year, choose from the Icon brand, Tomberlin, and Star, all on sale through March at Cart Doctor.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continuing our conversation with Lauren Specker from AL.com. I'll link the story up on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. When Mobile caught casino fever and a kiss from Trump. Lawrence, you've taken us back to yesteryear, 1993. A lot of stuff was popping here in Mobile.
It was. It was indeed. There was the possibility that the state might allow some form of casino gambling. There was the possibility that there might be two or three licenses for casinos to be built in the Mobile-Pritchard area. And because of that possibility, which never came to pass, you had close to 20 casino operators expressing real interest in developing projects here in Mobile.
So those players, and we're about to get to one of the names that's the best known, were coming here saying, hey, I'd like to get one of those licenses for a casino, and I'll build my lavish casino right there, or right over there.
Exactly.
Because you point out that and we're talking about the one of those players here was the now President of the United States, then a entrepreneur, businessman, Donald Trump, who was here. And you reckon to a story where was it Mike Dow and Donald Trump in the Bienville Club looking around? Or what? Can you take us to that story?
Right. Once I became aware this had happened, I was able to track down some archival photos. And, Donald Trump came to town to sort of schmooze local officials. And he went to City Hall and they went to the Bienville Club. And there's a photo we have there of Donald Trump and then Mayor Mike Dow looking down at the Mobile waterfront. And you see Mike Dow sort of gesturing at the waterfront. And whether that meant just, hey, look at the view, or how about that spot right there, who knows? But the visit definitely happened. And Trump was proposing a $250 million casino, hotel, and amusement park of some kind. And that was in addition to a smaller $45 million operation he said he was planning to build in Gulfport.
That's the one that gets me. And you talked about, you looked up in that archival, you're reading a business report from then, a reporter from Kathy Jumper, who was talking about, you know, we see those business ideas or what's happening. So the big deal was going to be the Mobile facility. The small deal was going to be in Mississippi.
Exactly. And it was a little further along, I guess, because Mississippi had approved dockside gambling, and he did eventually get a license to build that one, but then never did.
So he was one of, you said, 20 some odd big players in town that were looking at properties. When did all the dust settle on that? When did they realize this was not happening and those people stopped coming back and schmoozing, as you say, with folks here in Mobile?
It was in 95 that a bill to allow a referendum died in the state Senate without ever coming to a vote. It was right at the end of the 1995 session, and at the moment that it happened, the casino supporters said, hey, we'll be back next year, but then, you know, time passed, the situation changed, they never really came back with the same effort.
You have to
that effectively ended it.
So 95 the end, but you have to play this game in your mind. What, because you said two licenses for Mobile, one in Pritchard. What, let's say on Mobile side, what would the skyline look like today if casino gambling had been approved back then?
Well, I think one of the strong contenders would have been Steve Wynn, who had actually he ran Mirage Incorporated, and he was one of the heaviest of the heavy hitters there were in the industry, and he had one of his subsidiaries had actually bought property in downtown Mobile. He, I'm told, wanted to build Beau Rivage here. Now, Beau Rivage is the tallest building in Mississippi, so it would have definitely had an impact on the Mobile skyline.
Well, okay, so did you get in the records? Did they ever show up what property Wynn bought? Is that of record?
Yeah, there was. It might take me a couple of seconds to put my hands on it, but I know there was a parking lot along Conti Street.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Downtown.
So, I mean, he for some period of time, Steve Wynn owned property in downtown Mobile.
Yeah, what we reported at the time was that he had bought two parcels in downtown Mobile. Well, not him personally, but a subsidiary had bought two parcels costing a total of about $700,000. So he was putting some serious money into it.
You know, as of today, you said it wasn't on purpose, but today the legislature talking about the lottery, and we'll hear the back and forth, pros and cons. In your story back in 1993, you're talking about then Mayor Mike Dowell saying the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce had showed him survey results indicating that more than 80% of its members favored that referendum. Now, that's Chamber of Commerce. Is there any way to have gauged what public sentiment was back then?
It's hard to say. I think you have two separate issues. Should we have the casinos? Should we have a referendum? I think there was a lot of public support for the referendum. How the vote actually would have come out is a little harder to say. The next time it came up was 99, when we got a referendum on a lottery, and the state voted it down by roughly a 55 to 45% margin.
Of course, those times have changed, and you have Republicans floating the lotto bills these days. I wonder about that. And I'm looking at the text line, and it's something we've discussed a lot of times on the show. Somebody said, well, you know, let's talk about it now on the waterfront and the Maritime Museum. The list is long for reasons GolfQuest can't become a casino. But let's just go to the first one here and talk about the laws of the state. Right now, because there was never a referendum, you cannot have the casino in the state of Alabama. I mean, that's a Montgomery decision.
Correct. It's a constitutional issue.
All right. And also somebody say, well, what if Porch Creek Band wants to do it? And those operations in our state, while they're in our state, they're on sovereign land, right?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
So the idea that, and then there's a whole bunch of reasons that you probably wouldn't want to do it because you have to pay the federal government back for GolfQuest, but that's another story. But so is there a press on, with looking back what we were doing all those years ago in 1993, do you think there's going to be another press on this? And I wonder if there's room left. You know, I wonder if Mississippi has gotten so big that those 20 players would roll in here like they did before and say, hey, yeah, we're going to bid for those opportunities.
You know, if there's money to be made, somebody's going to try to make it.
Sure. I just wonder how much you're, you know, I don't know this. I mean, this is not rhetorical at all. I don't know how much, you know, when is it saturated? I have no idea. I'm not a gambler, so I don't know.
Tough question. I think the odds would be, pardon the expression, I think they would be better now than they were back then.
So,
because, and part of the reason I say that is because people have got accustomed to what is in Biloxi, and they, you know, there was a lot of outcry at the time about the social ills that would stem from gambling if you had casinos in town. And you know, Biloxi seems to be doing okay. So maybe now that people have seen that, they're less scared of that side of things.
Although my long-term argument on that one is, you know, plenty of people from Alabama are going gambling in Mississippi, so the revenue stays in Mississippi, and the societal ills come back home to Alabama. I mean, it's true, right? You go lose your money in Mississippi, it's there, but whatever problems, not paying bills or, you know, those kind of things, that comes home to Alabama.
Good point.
What about, you talked to Danny Sheridan, he's been on the show with us before, he was back when Mississippi green-lighted sports gambling. You talked to him, what was his take on what happened in 93?
Well, he thought it was a great example of Alabama willfully missing opportunity, as it had with the lottery. Says some of the same things you see, say it in terms of we're just watching money and potential tax revenue sail out of the state.
So Other than this being a really cool look into what we were doing in 1993, I wonder if there's not more to be made out of your story. That if it does happen again, we're seeing kind of maybe how it would happen. I mean, it was a thing. They thought this was happening. I mean, we were in play.
Yeah. Well, it's something to keep your eye on. This new lottery bill that's been proposed includes it has a little provision in there, I think, for something called a video lottery, which I don't know much about, but seems to be much like video bingo. It sort of walks and talks and quacks like a slot machine, but technically it's something a little different. And it could open the door some things, or that could be a liability for this particular bill. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, we will watch it for sure. And I great, great story, great reporting. I want everybody to read through it and get a real interesting take on what it was like back in 1993. You did a lot of reminded me of, oh, yeah, that did happen. Oh, that
yeah.
I had forgotten about. Thank you so much, Lawrence. Great work.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Lawrence Becker with AL.com right here on Midday Mobile. Yeah, we'll talk to you about this and got quite a few texts on this as well. And coming back after the news break, we'll get in a full discussion on what going forward may happen. Because we got the lotto bill. Of course, we'll talk about Senator McClendon's lotto bill. I think one of the interesting parts of that is, well, there's so many angles, but the 50-50 split. The 50-50 split has really gotten my attention because remember when we first started talking about this for this session, I pointed out that if you looked at where the state of Alabama needed revenue, maybe the Education Trust Fund wasn't the area it did because the receipts that go into the ETF are growing by the nature of their revenue stream from taxation, from property taxes, right? Properties get more properties, they build in value. The millage comes in, the taxation grows. Where the general fund is fairly static. General funding's money. Prison build-out needs money. Medicaid expansion could need money. So these might be places that you would put the money from a lottery. But we all know that a lottery that doesn't have for the children stamped on it is never going to pass. So what'd they do? They split it 50-50. We'll give you details when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Big thank you to Lawrence Becker, AL.com. Cool read. What might have been in Mobile. Maybe it's a good thing it didn't happen. Mobile has flourished, did not wither on the vine, and does not have the casinos. Although, I'm going to get into this, we're talking about McClendon's lotto bill. We do have gambling in our state, right? It's kind of like we're not really gambling, but we're gambling in Alabama, which is laughable to me. It's laughable. Also, if we have time this hour, that ruling yesterday in California about the Roundup case. I told y'all what, like a year ago, I kept saying this is going to be big, and we'll go through what may come next. As if they are there class actions on the way. This ruling was specifically to one person who worked with the golf course in California. But what if this goes big in class? How many people? I mean, my hands up. I mean, how much Roundup have I applied, whether it be at a farm or at my house over the years? I'll get to that in a second. All right. So the lotto bill, McClendon's bill that was filed yesterday when they gaveled in the Senate, is a couple things you got to know about it. First of all, it's that 50-50 split I talked about. It's 50-50 between the ETF, the Education Trust Fund, and 50% going to the general fund. So the ETF, which is the school fund, right, the school money, that way they can, I'm just telling you, this is my take on it, that way they can say, well, it's a lottery for the children. It's for the children. So they'll be able to say that. The other 50% goes into the general fund. The way I understand this, and this is what I'm going to continue to believe till somebody shows me differently, it would become part, that revenue would become part of the 7% of non-earmarked money in the general fund budget. So once again, we have two funds in Alabama, or two budgets in Alabama, if you're new around here. The Education Trust Fund, that money cannot come out of the ETF and go into the general fund. It's got a wall around it. It's protected from being raided for cash. That ETF gets money from property taxes, a couple other places, but mostly property taxes. So that's where that money goes in the ETF. Then you have the general fund outside north of the wall. Hey, when's Game of Thrones come back on? It's April, right? So the general fund. The general fund is north of the wall. The ETF is south of the wall. The general fund is north of the wall. 97%, and there's some of y'all that have seen the show Game of Thrones that know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all, don't worry. You look at the 93% of the general fund budget that's earmarked. In other words, there's a revenue stream or streams that fund that department, that entity, that thing in state government, and that can't be changed. You can't take away from it. It links this revenue source with this part of government. It's kind of like we talk about with ALDOT, right? And the gas tax. So that's like an earmarked section of the general fund. The way I understand this now, the 50% of the lottery revenue, if this were to go through, that doesn't go to the education trust fund would then go to the general fund. And the way it seems to me right now, unless Montgomery does something different, it is of that 7%. In other words, it would not be earmarked. It would go into the general fund to be applied where needed, which would be a good thing. The reality is maybe 100% should be able to be applied where needed. Problem is, you don't get it. That's the silliness of the lottery referendum, which, by the way, if this goes through, it will just move an amendment, a constitutional amendment, onto the ballot, and then we'll be able to vote whether we should be able to have a lottery. You won't be voting on a lottery in 2020. You'll vote on changing the Alabama Constitution to legalize lotteries. Yes, de facto is you'll be voting on a lottery, but it's a step before that. So with that move, then you've got the questions of, you know, who gets the money. And that's where the battling's going on. And we can go back to my theory that what the bill should actually say, it should legalize lotteries, plural. Let private enterprise engage in the lottery, not the state. But, you know, I mean, there's no power in that, right? Even though the state could probably get as much revenue without having to have a new department. But, all right, here's the other part of it that you heard Lawrence mention that really worries me as well. McClendon, who's sponsor of the bill, has said this is a clean bill. You know what I mean by clean bill, right? That it's just about lottery referendum, nothing else. But that's baloney. It's not true. Because in this clean bill, it would keep casino, card, and table games illegal in Alabama, but it would also protect facilities that are running electronic bingo. These are outside Indian lands, outside the sovereign lands of the Porch Creeks. This would allow, like the Milton McGregor facilities, electronic bingo, and allow them to run this, and you heard Lawrence mention it as well, virtual lottery terminals. Because remember, here's how they work. The reason why they can have video bingo is that bingo is legal in the state of Alabama. Okay? So they had to create a game on the Porch Creek properties that mirrors what is legal in Alabama. Bingo's legal, so they have video bingo. If Alabama legalizes lottery, then they will move to have virtual, or let's just say electronic lottery, which is like another slot machine, but a couple extra steps in it. So they would mirror what the state is doing. So that's part of this. So, I mean, it's clean in the fact that it moves for referendum on lottery, but at the same time, it then expands video lottery. I mean, it says, why don't we just get down to the brass tacks? Do people in Alabama want gambling or not? Because we seem to tiptoe through the tulips all the time on this and not get down to it. I know, lottery is not like real gambling for most folks, right? It's the wine spritzer of the gambling world, but it's still and it brings in a suite of other questions as well, because then you have the Porch Creek saying, okay, you're gonna have lottery, then we're gonna have video lottery or virtual lottery. All right, go to the phones, and Dennis is in beautiful Gulf Shores. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you, Sean?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I think I agree with you. I don't think it's a very clean bill necessarily. They are trying to sell the bill to us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the school systems in Alabama do need revenue. Raising revenue through property taxes seems to be a more difficult path for the senators and representatives that represent us. That would seem to be the best revenue source, as you can, you know, then borrow money through bond funds to fund schools. However, a lottery could work all we got to do is look to the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia has a great lottery bill, and it should be copied, in my opinion, because those funds are set aside permanently. And I understand that the language of this bill has a provision where 50% would go to the ETF and mm-hmm. be locked away. But it wasn't very long ago Robert Bentley was able to take money out of the ETF.
Yeah, that was. That was a shifty move. And yes, it can be done. But let's say it's a hard wall to break through. Is that fair, Dennis? It's not like they can't day in and day out go grab money from ETF.
Well, sure. If you got a sledgehammer or a jackhammer, you can break through any wall. So I'm just looking at precedents of the past, right?
Right.
So, I don't believe that money is walled off. They can say that it will be, but, you know, actions speak a lot louder than words, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dennis, you mentioned Georgia, though. That worries me a little bit, and I have to go back and do some more reading. But I remember, it's been a few years ago, reading that somebody said, in Georgia, what they did is when they raised the education, the funds with the education lottery, the legislature there then said, okay, because they don't have a walled-off ETF. They said, okay, because we have this extra money coming in from the lottery, and they had their hope, they had the scholarships and all that, but they said, we don't have to, like, let's say the budget for, because I'm not good with math, the budget for schools in Georgia was $10, and the lottery was bringing in extra $5 a year. They didn't say, now we've got 15. They said, wow, we can take five of those $10 and use them elsewhere, and we'll take those $5 from lottery and apply it towards education. They you know what I'm saying? They shifted it, and they use that money elsewhere.
So they do it the same way. It's a 50-50 distribution, you're saying?
Well, but that's not what the law says. So the law, the law or the bill, and I don't have it in front of me, in Georgia said it was for schools, just like you said, completely accurate. But then when it came in and it came down to the end, they said, okay, this additional revenue that's coming in from the education lottery is going to go into the regular education fund, right?
It's $10. Above what?
No, but see, not above what. The way I understand it is they did a little shift, and they took money that they were spending on schools and then used the lottery money to make up for it. You know what I'm saying? And they took that money and used it elsewhere. They, even though it came in as education funds, air quotes here, they ended up cutting what they were spending at first, even before lottery money, and making up the difference with some of the lottery money. That's what I'm scared of, too. That's kind of, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
It sounds like if there's money in the Georgia lottery situation, sounds like if there's money above and beyond what's budgeted for the school system, then that money can be moved over, I guess.
And maybe that's the deal. Dennis, I appreciate your call. Thanks. Let's do this. We're going to run the break. Y'all hold on. I'm coming right back and get more calls. Got people holding on. Y'all hold on. Get right back to you. Talking lottery. Oh, and also, speaking of Montgomery, coming up next hour, District 102 Representative Shane Stringer joins us. HB 41, I think it is, a bill that he's brought along with Barbara Drummond, bipartisan bill to regulate vaping in the state of Alabama, saying that Alabama is only one of only three states in the nation that does not regulate vaping.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5. And I'm stealing this from an unnamed texter earlier in the hour when we were talking to Lauren Specker. Maybe a headline here on his story for casino gambling way back when, 1993, around here. He said, Alabama missed the boats. Good stuff. Funny. I like funny. All right. 343-0106. That's the number. 343-0106. Plus, Attorney General Steve Marshall joins us next hour. And Shane Stringer, District 102 Representative, all on deck. All right. Paul is in Mobile, and he's up next.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon, Paul.
I would like the name of the bill, lottery bill, to be correct. I think it should be called the 24/7 gambling bill.
Okay.
Because you're going to have scratch-offs, and people are going to go and gamble 24/7. I sure would like to see you have somebody on your show who's in opposition to gambling from a scientific point.
Well, I got an open door. If they're listening right now, open door. You know me. Somebody wants to come be on the show, You got the right person that can talk about it. Come on.
You know, $250 million, I just don't see that it's going to be able to raise that kind of money.
I don't think so.
The other thing that you talk about quite a bit is that we have gambling in Alabama, so why not have more? I just don't understand that principle or logic, I should say. I mean, if you eat something once a month that's real bad for you, you don't just, I'm going to eat it every day now, three times a day.
And that's one of the things. That's like a core difference between you and I, and it has been for a long time. My desire to regulate others' behavior is limited, is not zero. I'm not zero. I'm pragmatic, but it's limited. You want to regulate other people's lives and make sure they don't make bad choices.
Well, I don't believe that regulating gambling is regulating people's lives.
But they go gamble now, Paul.
Unfortunate way.
Paul, do you think they gamble now? The ones who want to gamble, you don't think they have a chance to go gamble?
Yes, but dangling it in front of them and tempting them with it is another story.
Okay, there we go. The temptation is too much. All right, let's go to David next in Mobile. David.
Sean, didn't the Harrah's Casinos Corporation either buy the GM&O building or option it during that casino craze back in the 90s?
I don't know that. I mean, that's plausible, but I don't know that.
I thought I had heard that somewhere. I might be mistaken on that, but I heard that it was owned, but that they bought that building at one time because they thought casinos were coming into Mobile. And listen, I'm like you. I think it should be put to a vote, and I think Alabama should follow the Mississippi model when it comes to casino gambling and sports betting. And that is, first, you have a statewide referendum on adding an amendment to the Constitution to legalize it. And then each individual area that qualifies for casino gambling, you put a vote to that individual area. Like, for example, if you limited it to navigable waterways, Mobile and Baldwin County could hold referendums at the same time. Baldwin County could vote against it, and Mobile could vote for it type deal. And then you have casinos.
You know, the thing is, on the navigable waterway part, it is so silly. I agree with you. Do a statewide referendum, then do local. Do a local referendum. I agree with you, but like Mississippi did with the water. Come on, either you're gambling or you're not. I mean, it's on a boat. It's not actually on our shores. It's in the water. Come on. Ridiculous silliness.
I understand and I agree with you, Sean.
Silly.
But if whatever you got to do to get the referendum on the ballot, you got to do, because I still think that once, if we pass a lottery in this state, that will open the door for the Porch Creek Indians to have casino gambling, because both are classified as class 3 gaming by the federal government.
Lottery's class 3?
Lottery is class 3 gaming.
Wow.
And if and the federal laws say if you have a class 3 gaming in your state has to enter into a compact with your Indians reservations in your state to allow them to have class 3 gaming.
Huh. Okay. Well, I didn't know lottery. So maybe my take that lottery is the wine spritzer of the gambling world has been off. I thought it was like the lottery was different, which is, once again, I mean, the bill that should be, and thanks for the call, David, the bill that they should be working with in Montgomery right now, if they want to stick with lottery, is the legalization of lotteries. Get the state out of it. If private enterprises want to bond, themselves, if they could pay off the money, they want to run a private lottery that, they're bonded, they show they can pay off, they buy a license from the state to be a lottery in the state and pay a percentage of their net at the end of the year. Maybe that's the deal. Then the state, the state gets money. The state has no risk. Oh, that'll never happen. Tim is in Baldwin County. Up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sean. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Well, I moved here from Georgia a couple of years ago, and my daughter took advantage of the state scholarship lottery in Georgia and went to Georgia State, got her degree, and the other portion of the lottery funding was into pre-K.
Okay.
So it was a pre-K and college funding, and everybody, it wasn't as though it funded your entire college experience, because it's just tuition, no books, no room and board or anything like that. So,
yeah, but that's still a great advantage for somebody. You get the tuition paid for. I'd take that.
Which was about $4,000 a semester for my daughter, and then the rest of the lottery funding went into the pre-K program in the state school system, not into regular funding of high schools or middle schools or whatever.
Did they shift money away? Did they? You know, I had read something. I wish I could find this article in short order. But did they say, okay, now that we've got this revenue coming in from the lottery, we can put to pre-K? Did they take other money they had been spending on pre-K out of there, or did they put it on top of it?
It was on top of it, best my understanding. But the problem with the lottery that grew over the years was that so many college students took advantage of the funding for their tuition through the lottery program that now there's not enough lottery income to fund the college scholarship fund.
Really?
And they're kind of in a tailspin with it now.
Is it because of, I mean, you said number one, the increasing cost, but what about the revenues coming in? Have they dwindled for the lottery?
Yes.
Are they?
Yes.
See, that's the worry people have talked about for Alabama, too, that, you know, you quote numbers, that might be year one, but when the shine wears off something, people don't play it as much. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard people say that.
Well, that's what, and not being there anymore, I don't know where it's at now, but before we moved to beautiful L.A., it had gotten to the point that they were struggling to try to figure out what they were going to fund and who they were going to cut out, because they're very, very strict about grade point average.
Right.
And if your grade point average falls below that benchmark, you lose your lottery funds for your tuition. So it's very strict. And the reason it's very strict is because the funds have become limited.
Yeah, that, and hey, listen, that may teach a good lesson to our children, right? You do right or you lose your cash flow.
Sure, sure.
There you go. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, Steve said, borrow a line from the Comet Cowboys, win the $30 million Alabama lottery, $30 a year for a million years. Good text, Steve. And yes, good for the Comet Cowboys. All right, 1258 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, Shane Stringer, District 102 representative, talks with us about HB 41, the vaping regulation bill.